On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and joining me today is Jonathan Blockmacher for a discussion of estate planning in 2012. Where are we and where are we going? Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, Bob.
Jonathan, where are we? What is going on in Congress, and when is Congress going to finally give us some guidance on what the law is going to be going forward?
Well, Bob, we know from what's happening in Washington right now, where the Republican House has refused to extend the payroll tax cut, at least at this time, even though now the Wall Street Journal has told them to just drop back and punt and extend the payroll tax cut. We certainly do not know what's going to happen. And the reason, of course, is political. What the Democrats want under a new tax law, whether it's income, estate, gift, generation, skipping, excise, whatever it is, and what the Republicans want is going to be politically motivated. There's a huge prize that's going to happen on November 5 of next year, and we're going to know who controls the House, who controls the Senate, and who controls the White House. And the parties are going to use every political trick in order to try to be a winner in that particular game. And one of the big areas in which they're going to try to win is with respect to tax policy. So the bottom line is, Bob, we don't know. If this were November 6th and we knew who was going to control the House, the Senate, and the White House, I think everybody, including you and me, Bob, would have a better notion as to what's going to happen under the tax law. Personally, I think it's probably unlikely you're going to see any significant changes to the tax law, especially in the area of estate, gift, and generation skipping, before the end of the next year. However, Bob, let me point out that we all thought nothing was going to happen with the tax law last year, and yet on December 17th, President Barack Obama signed into law the 2010 Tax Act, and that was based upon a political deal that he, Mitch McConnell, the head of the Republicans in the Senate, and John Kyle, the most ferocious anti-estate tax senator in Washington, D.C., made a deal. They made a political deal. Nobody foresaw it, and we got extraordinary changes, including a two-year extension of the Bush income tax cuts, a $5 million temporary estate gift and generation skipping transfer tax exemption, a reintroduction of the estate tax for 2010 decedents, but an election to get out of the estate tax and fall into the carryover basis system. Bottom line, because this is politics, nobody knows for sure. But just because you don't know for sure doesn't mean you shouldn't take action.
So, Jonathan, I think there's four issues that are up in the air where Congress could deal with them autonomously from the rest of the estate tax. One is portability is not certain by any means. And what do you do right now if you represent a couple, first spouse died, they were worth exactly $10 million? Do you dare depend on portability, or do you just fund the bypass trust like portability doesn't exist?
Well, portability, Bob, of course, is the capacity of the surviving spouse to inherit the unused estate tax exemption of the first spouse to die. So, for example, let's say I have $5 million. I die today, and I could put it all into a so-called credit shelter trust, which would benefit my spouse, but would not be includable in her estate when she dies, the classic so-called credit shelter or bypass trust. The reason for portability, as it was sold to the Congress, is I don't have to create a trust for my wife. I can just leave her my whole estate. It qualifies for the marital deduction, although there are complications if she's not a U.S. citizen. I don't use any exemption because it's being protected from tax by reason of the marital deduction, and she then can inherit my unused exemption. And this was sold to Congress as though it would simplify estate planning for everybody out there. You can have that simple I love you will. Well, Bob, this is one of the big, big ploys that was ever paid. Congress was sold the proverbial bill of goods. Portability is a mirage. It ends at the end of next year, so to rely on it is madness. In addition, there's no portability of GST exemption, and as a consequence, if the property owner hopes to have or does have grandkids whom he would like the tax burden to be minimized, to use portability where you don't use his GST exemption would be madness. In addition, effectively, to use portability, you're going to leave your estate outright to your spouse, which means it's not going to be in trust. And the most important thing you can do for a client is to place assets in a trust for the benefit of the beneficiary, so it's protected from claims of creditors, including a new spouse or the surviving spouse, as well as to achieve greater income, estate, and gift tax planning, which can't be done with outright bequest. So the bottom line is, do not rely on portability. In fact, I'll even make that claim, Bob, if portability as it presently exists even is extended indefinitely, lawyers should steer their clients away from portability. It will only be used where there was a defective estate plan, no creation of a credit shelter trust. To me, that's the only case it should be even considered.
Now, Jonathan, even if the exemption were to stay at $5 million, which I think I'm with you, I'm doubtful of that, and I think we have a pretty good chance of reverting back to the $1 million, dynasty trusts, marketability, and minority interest discounts and grants have all been talked about. And what opportunities do we have in 2012 to take advantage of those provisions of the law?
Well, the Obama administration and others have proposed, as you indicated, Bob, that they're going to beat up on grants, they're going to beat up on the use of the GST exemption, they're going to eliminate most valuation discounts. And, of course, the name of the game today, Bob, in estate tax planning is discounting property which the client owns or the property the client acquires. The proposal by the Obama administration is that those changes would be effective only on the day that the law is enacted. Now, obviously, that could change, but that's what they've represented, and I hope we can rely on it. Well, that means if these adverse effects occur, we ought to try to get our clients in 2012 to use them. For example, if your client has something like a closely held business interest, say she owns 60%, she could give 20% away now and own 40% when she dies, and supposedly both of those would be entitled to a minority discount. But one of the proposals that's made is that once it passes, even if you own or transfer a minority interest, you're going to be treated as though you owned a majority interest, eliminating the lack of control or minority discount if you and your family collectively, and this includes remote relatives by any definition, that own at least 50%. In addition, if you've done something like a family partnership, you will not be allowed any discount for the existence of that once this law is enacted. So people ought to consider taking action, for example, doing estate sales to trusts or to make gifts of these provisions while those discounts exist. In addition, one of the most far-reaching changes that has been proposed is to limit the use of the GST exemption to 90 years, which would mean that if I started a trust, let's say, in 2012, it would only last for 90 years, which would take me out to 2102, which seems like a long time. But if my grandkids are still alive at that time, it could mean that now they have to pay a generation-skipping tax. Even though the trust was created 90 years before, if they're born thereafter, there could be a tremendous generation-skipping tax. And that would suggest that if people want to use their GST exemption, they ought to consider using it before those changes are made. With respect to GRATs, Bob, grantor retained annuity trust, they're talking about far-reaching changes that would occur, and as a consequence, I think that practitioners and other advisors, including CPAs, need to go in with their clients and say, look, let's consider creating a GRAT right now, which is likely to produce a very good result, because if you don't, you're going to be boxed in on using GRATs once the law is changed.
So, Jonathan, there's a lot out here. Let's go through some specific steps most people should be evaluating for their clients. Let's start with the $5 million exemption, and let's assume that either it's decoupled and we go back to a $1 million gift tax exemption and a $5 million estate tax exemption, or the entire exemption just falls from $5 million to $1 million. So now we know that's very good likelihood of happening. What do we do with spousal trusts, self-settled trusts? Do you have some ideas?
Yeah, Bob. The great news is that for the first time ever since the enactment of the gift tax back in the 1930s, you're going to be able to give away $5 million in a taxable form and pay no gift tax. And if for someone who is exceptionally wealthy, he or she might just put it into a trust for the benefit of their descendants. So you've got somebody with $100 million or $200 million, they can take $5 million, put it into a perpetual generation skipping exempt trust and benefit their descendants for a very, very long time, a true so-called dynasty trust, and that may make sense. But for most people, Bob, like me, I'm obviously not as wealthy as you are, because you are in that over $100 million range, as is Steve Lineberg. I can't really afford to give up $5 million. So the question is, what can I do? One thing is I just don't do anything. You know, the estate tax and the GST tax aren't problems I have. They're problems that my kids and my grandkids have, but, you know, I care about myself more. But there is a way in which you can probably accomplish both. One is to create a trust for yourself. Now, the problem is, under very well-developed law, including Revenue Ruling 77-378, Estate of Paxton, and a variety of other decisions and revenue rulings decided, if you create a trust for your own benefit, even if you're only a discretionary beneficiary, the trust will be includable back in your estate if your creditors can attach the assets. And under the law of every state until 1997, if you created a trust for your own benefit, you create it or settle it for yourself, known as a self-settled trust, it would be in your estate when you die. And again, the cases are legion on that. However, in 1997, Alaska passed a law which said, you can come here, and if you're not trying to defraud a creditor, that trust, unlike the law of any other state, will not be subject to the claims of your creditors. And the IRS has now ruled, in private letter ruling 2009, 44002, that Alaska trust will not be includable in your estate. And by the way, that applies even if you're not an Alaskan. You've got to follow the Alaska statute. You've got to have an Alaska co-trustee, although it can be an administrative trustee. So you can create a trust for your own benefit, and it will not be includable in your estate. There's a lot of cases that support that, including the famous case of the State of German, which is 7 Court of Claims, page 641, 1984. Which state, if you create a trust in a jurisdiction where the assets in that trust are not subject to the claims of your creditors under that law, it will not be includable in your estate. So, Bob, you could take $5 million, put it in trust for your wife, your kids, your mother and father, your favorite charity, and as long as you are not entitled to the income, and as long as the trust is not administered so the IRS would find that there was an implied understanding between you and the trustee that you would get the income, it'll be excludable from your estate. Now, there's even a better way, Bob, if you're married. For example, my wife and I have now created trusts for each other to use as much of our exemptions as we can. Unfortunately, Bob, unlike you, Betsy and I don't have $10 million, but we took half of our wealth, including our homes, including everything except IRA and pension interest, and Betsy put half in trust for me, and I put half in trust for Betsy. Now, that's fine, except you have to worry about what's called the reciprocal trust doctrine. The reciprocal trust doctrine says if A creates a trust for B and B creates a substantially identical trust for A, then for creditor and for tax purposes, A is treated as though she has created the trust that B created for her, and B is treated as though he created the trust that A, in fact, created. What you have to do is to make those non-reciprocal, and there are about 10 differences you can make to make sure that you don't fall under the reciprocal trust doctrine. And what that means, Bob, is that Betsy and I can get these assets out of our gross estate. We get the bonus that they're also going to be free of the claims of our creditors for the rest of our lives. And yet when we die, it can go in further perpetual trust for the benefit of our kids. And we've beaten any change in the law. And we've also done phenomenal estate planning for our descendants. So that's probably the most significant and important thing a property owner can do in 2012.
Jonathan, so if a client comes to me and basically says, Bob, I understand the need to use the $5 million, but I'm worried that I won't have enough. First thing I would say is, well, can we put property in trust for your spouse? And if for whatever reason that doesn't work, then we would look to going to a self-settled trust state and citizing the trust there, and then my client can continue to be a beneficiary of that trust. And under German and the other case law you cited, there's a very high likelihood, unless there's a prearrangement, that that trust is not going to be included in his or her estate when they die. Is that about the heart of it?
That is the heart of it, Bob. And in fact, let me give the listeners a little guidance here. There was a Limeburg posting a few months ago by my brother Douglas and me, which talked about using the $5 million exemption, and people can access through Steve's Lisi by going in there, and if you put in Douglas Blotmacher, I think it'll come up, and it will give you a lot of guidance on how to do it, whether you're married or you're single, including some things, Bob. Even if Private Letter Ruling 2009-44002, which says the Alaska Trust won't be in your estate, even if that turns out to be wrong or the IRS changes its mind, there are things you can do to, again, be almost certain that you're not going to have estate tax inclusion.
Many opportunities for us, Jonathan. On behalf of Limeburg Information Services, I just want to thank you for being with us today. This has been Bob Keebler interviewing Jonathan Blotmacher on estate planning in 2012.